Right, so recorded the first thing in a long time last night, and now it's 5:30 in the morning the day after, so we're gonna go for this shit again. But let's see if we can answer some question about you. Now I'm gonna talk about life purpose. And there's a lot to talk about, but I think the first thing that should be said is that I don't always like this term. I like it for myself, and I think it is an applicable term. I think it is a fitting term, in fact. It's just that I don't like it in the sense that I know other people can't relate to it. I know they don't even know what the fuck I mean by it, what other people mean by it, and they think it's this lofty, vague concept that's far outside the possibility for their life. Maybe they think there's something, like, elitist about it. And yet it's all far simpler than that. Like, it's essentially just asking, like, what the hell do you want? Like peeling away all of the bullshit and all the things you have to do. All the things you have, or you think that you have to do. It's like beyond all that, what do you really want out of life? Like, how do you want to contribute to the world? How do you want to make it a better place, even if it's just in the slightest way? How would you want to, like, how would you spend your time if all the problems were solved? If all the people were happy, all the people were healthy, then how would you spend your time? You know, that kind of gets into a separate distinction almost, because again, there are lots of problems to solve, and a lot of meaning can be gained from that. But at the same time, this other question of what would you do if all that was finished, I think it pulls out a different creative aspect to the whole, to this whole process. Like, for me, that'd be music. For me, I would just spend all my time doing music, like, if none of this was necessary, on some deeper, level that didn't need to cater to the deficit of psychological well-being. But I mean, back to this term, this term of life purpose, it's, if you don't like it, if it doesn't fit for you right now, that's fine. Just, again, consider the core of, like, it's just asking, what do you want? What do you want to do with your time here? What do you want most? And so, like, also know that, on the other hand, like, as if you do commit yourself to this work, if you do cut things out to contemplate more and to meditate more and to grow, to just put in the work to grow, like, when you do that, the grandiose nature of the term actually becomes more and more fitting, because shit just gets, like, the depth and the meaning, you start to experience the profundity of all that. Very few terms start to come near that. And that's why the phrase life purpose helps. But feel free for now to mentally replace that with whatever feels right for you. And so that way we could talk about what it is. Though I guess we already kind of covered that. It's like at the core of it, of asking what you want. And implied in asking what you want also shows that there's not really a thing written out in the stars for every person to go do. Like, everyone's purpose is not to go save the whales. Everyone's purpose is not to go solve political corruption. Everyone's purpose is not to go reform the education system. All those things are important. But we each have our own way. And you have to sort of think about, you know, provided you want this, you have to sort of think about which problem you would want to solve. This is the flip side to the question I had brought on probably too early. But we have to think about the problems you would want to solve. What substantial problem in the world moves you enough to the point where you're like, fuck, I gotta be a part of that. I gotta be a part of the effort to solve that. And again, that could be political reform, that could be solving education problems, that could be ending factory farming, that could be environmental conservation, it could be just so many things. It could be just helping your community, it could be being a doctor and helping people in other countries that don't have the privileges we have here. It could just, there's so much that can go into that. And it's sort of a distinction that has to be made between the fact that you have to create this thing and then you have to discover this thing. It's both are necessary in sort of thinking about it. And on the one hand, you have to discover it because, you know, through this process, you ultimately have to think about what you value most. You have to think about what you hold most dear. Like, what set of principles you want to live your life by. And on the other hand, you have to create it. You discover these values, and then stuff starts to just rise up within you. When you hear about issues, or you consider like what moves you, or what you're passionate about, like, it just sort of swells up. And you know, if you're really fostering this connection, you can't ignore it. That'd be extremely difficult and painful. But then you also have to create it in the sense that, like, no one else can find this for you. And you're the one who has to make the decisions as to what you find most important. And so both are helpful in sort of understanding the concept. And we could say that there maybe is some sort of meta purpose for humanity as a whole, in that, well, the aim of life is to help each other and to love, and that's the whole purpose, and to raise our awareness of our own condition and of other people's conditions. And I wouldn't really disagree with that. But if you're just sort of starting out on this whole thing, it's still probably most helpful just to think of it in terms of, okay, what are the tangible things I want and I need, that I feel I need to accomplish? And it's really a whole mindset in some sense, because it's just like, it's just this organic unfolding that happens through intentional, purpose-driven work. And, you know, that's quite amazing. That's supremely beautiful. And it's sort of the most important thing you could be doing. Certainly one of them. I would love to hear something else that is more important. You know, maybe things like caring and raising for a family, And like consciousness work, like those are sort of at least in my mind, for me, those are sort of the only thing that can compete. And primarily the latter for me. But again, with anything I'm doing here, I'm not telling you what to think and what to do and what to value. It's like, I'm just advocating that you go find that for yourself. It's no different for this life purpose thing. And so, you know, it's like, what's the alternative? Again, coming back to like, what else is there to do? What is the alternative? You know, doing what you're doing now? Like, what is that? Like, obviously you could be in a number of different situations, but I mean, most people, they go to work, probably to a job, like most likely to a job they just, they really don't like, really monotonous. You know, they go to work and they come home and they sort of just chill. They just sort of relax and fuck around and giggle and hang out with their friends, maybe get drunk, maybe really get drunk, maybe, you know, kind of wallow in their situation. But most people, like, it's just sort of, it's good enough in a sense. Like, it's not painful enough to actually do anything about it. They sort of, with enough rationalization, come to justify it. And if that's your alternative, it's like, that's not, like, we both know that's not what you want. We both know that you could be doing so much more. And it's likely that you just don't think you can. It's likely that you have a unfortunate, unhelpful set of psychological beliefs that hold you back. And in some sense, that's totally natural. Because by default, it seems that the devil we know is better than the devil we don't, right? So going outside of whatever the fuck you've been doing is, like, it's the unknown. It's the place where you don't know if people are going to ridicule you. It's a place you don't know if you're going to be able to eat and sleep some more for the night. It's a place you don't know where you're going to be able to have the things you want, do the things you want to do. But if you're in tune with this a bit, you see that all that stuff is very shallow compared to what you actually want. And overall, I think for most people in this country, in the civilized world, some things aren't as, you know, just some things aren't as serious as they seem. Like saving up a bit of money and quitting your job just to go backpacking for a month, like, that's a, it's sort of a crazy thing to do by this culture's metrics and standards. And it's like, it's really not a crazy thing to do. It's a pretty great thing to do. It's not like you'll never find another job. It's not like you're gonna end up homeless. Like, you can, wherever you're at, you know, you could get back there after something like that. And if you don't think you can, well, it's like, what's your evidence? Because plenty of people have done so. Does it take work? Yeah, probably a bit more than what you're doing right now. But so does anything that's worthwhile. And those things are important to do because they connect you to that to your sort of inner intuition, for lack of a better term. It's like, if you don't have those subtle feelings and subtle voices coming to mind, you're never gonna aspire to anything. And sometimes that's why meditation is helpful, and maybe that's one practice you can implement to sort of progress along this way, is like, when you get in the silence, and when you just sort of try to focus on something else besides all the negativity going on in your mind, things become clearer. And they don't necessarily become clearer with answers, but they become clearer in that you begin to see that other ways of being are possible. And I was sort of touching on that last night. But the point is that you just kind of have to remember and know, I guess, for yourself, was like, are you happy with what you're currently at? Because if not, it's time to probably think of an alternative. If you don't think about it now, you eventually will, or you will go cover the feelings up with something. It's like, those are your options in some sense. And one of the main reasons to do this is like, when you contemplate your death, which you should be if you're not already, if you want to, you know, feel more in life, if you want to be more in life, like, contemplating death is so crucial. But when you, if you consider that, and then you consider how most people die, what sort of mental state are they in when right before they die? Like, a substantial amount, I would dare even say most, pass with regrets of all the things they didn't do. And there's a book, and I haven't read it, or haven't read it yet, by a woman who basically went around to a bunch of hospice centers, and she asked these people, you know, they're dying, and it's inevitable, and they're face to face with it. She's like, what do you regret most? And the number one thing was that they didn't live a life true to themselves. And now some of you may think that's sort of a cliche, or you just aren't in touch with that. But that's really not something just to wipe off your shoulder. That's not something to poo-poo and trivialize, because fuck, you're going to be there one day. And that day may be much sooner than you think. And it's not even necessary that you actually achieve whatever you're sort of setting out to do, but the fact that you take on the process, you just put in the work, and like, you do it because you love it, and that perhaps even more than the outcome, like, you're just in it for the growth, for the process, for the act of fostering both who you are and the person you want to become. And I mean, like, that's crucial. Contemplating death in that way, like, if you're not, again, if you're not in touch with that, it's unfortunate, because you're going to waste, you know, many more months, perhaps many more years. And I'm not speaking like I'm immune from this, like, as I was saying last night, or whenever you heard that, it's been 9 months since I did anything really substantial with this project. And I think a lot of this just comes down to we both don't think we can do anything. And, you know, social approval, the desire for that is just such a bitch. But then there's, you know, for those of you who are in touch with all that, there's sort of the question of where to begin with this whole thing. Besides just asking yourself what you want, because sitting alone for a couple hours, maybe for longer than that, you know, like repeated periods, being in solitude and contemplating that question, contemplating what you think your options are, and then what you actually maybe really want, and setting aside all your doubts and your beliefs and your criticisms, just like you can pick those back up in an hour after you wrote everything you could possibly write. Okay, you can pick it back up and you can leave the whole fucking thing. And so, yeah, that'd be the first place to start. But beyond that, like I was saying, sort of meditation, because that sort of just connects you to your immediate experience, and you just sort of get curious. You sort of get a taste of a different level of depth. And so that's another avenue, and there are many resources online, and I'll put some out soon for how to get started with that and go deep with that. But beyond that, like, once you do, you ask yourself those questions. And you don't have to be certain about them. And in fact, you won't be certain about them, because when you do this sort of thing, doubt becomes a much more substantial part of your life. It's constantly uncomfortable. It's sort of constantly like a midlife crisis. At least at the outset, that's, I can relate to that. The past week's sort of been that. But sort of visualizing, this is another term that's sort of, I don't know, I just don't really like it either, because of all the ways it gets used in the cliche self-help world. But, okay, so you quote-unquote figured what you want. And now it's time to focus on that and remind yourself. That's really what visualization is. And just reinforcing, like, how you would feel in the process of going for that and in achieving that. And stating aloud what you want, almost in a prayer-like fashion. Not that you're praying to anything. You're sort of probing yourself. You pray to yourself, to the deeper part of yourself, if that's one way you want to think about it. So visualization is one, meditation is one, these questions are one. And I found another really important thing to do is follow or pay attention to people who are already doing this. Because you need some sort of evidence that there is something along this path, that there is a possibility of anything actually coming about from this. And if you don't have evidence of that, because you likely don't have evidence of that in yourself quite yet, you're just not going to be able to pull through the tough times as things become tougher. And so paying attention to people who, you know, on some level are following their muse, although that's an incomplete way of thinking about it, because this shit just gets hard. And there are many times where you just don't want to do it and you want to quit and it doesn't make sense. Like, it's just important to follow those kind of people to assure yourself that you are doing something remotely right and right for you. And so that could mean just, you know, watching videos. That could mean taking people's courses. That could mean reading books. Definitely reading books or listening to books even. Listening to podcasts like these from people who you can resonate with. And so that's another specialized tool for this. But then if you're at a total loss, and this sort of just comes from my own, I guess this all does, but this really comes from my own experience. Sorry. If you're at a total loss, like changing your diet and making measures to improve your health, though it may sound like it's unrelated, like it's totally not. it's far more related than you could probably ever know. At least that's how it was for me. And it's because, like, that's the foundation of you, right? You know, your body's made up of all these things you consume. And taking a measure to improve that, and to care for yourself in that way, and to make more conscious choices as to the kind of life you want to lead, in contradiction to all the momentum around you, all the momentum of eating quick, convenient food that is not helpful in the long term or the short term, really. Do something contrary like that. You know, it becomes the start of something much deeper. And it's definitely a problem just to get stuck there and to focus on food for the rest of your life, unless it's somehow intimately tied with your life purpose. But it's like food is a vehicle, not a vehicle, it's a means to the end. Like, you eat to live a certain way. And that, maybe that's with energy, maybe that's with no energy. but taking tangible action in terms of just caring for yourself and exercising and eating right and all that is sort of, results come from that. Whether it be you lose weight, you get more energy, you're not as groggy, your skin clears up. Like, there's all these different benefits that come in, but you also see that you're doing something that's actually pretty hard.
And
fuck, sorry, it's almost 6 a.m. like, changing your diet is changing your foundation, and that's sort of the underlying thing that has to be moved and transformed if it isn't already. It's like if you're trying to build a house, you have the concrete under it, the foundation under it's shaky or really shoddy, it's just not gonna hold. And so that's why this component is important. And hopefully I expressed that well enough. The other thing to think about in this whole thing is, first consider if any of this is resonating for you. And if it isn't, I'm curious as to why, and hopefully you are. If we sort of consider quote-unquote personal development as a roadmap or no, if we just consider different psychological models that sort of correspond to the direction you're going in, and growing and as a human being. We can think about Maslow's hierarchy of needs and how, okay, you're not going to give a shit about any of this or anything at all if you don't have food, if you don't have water, if you don't have some sufficient shelter. And so if you have that covered, then you're going to need, what, some laws and some rights. You're going to have some level of freedom, not be oppressed, so that you can actually take control of a substantial part of your life and, you know, live it how you see fit. And then you're going to need, you know, some sort of healthy amount of friendships and other relationships and, you know, between your family. You're going to have to sort of get some sort of achievement or something that can boost your esteem. Maybe some status, like all this stuff sort of helps along the way. They sort of fill these psychological needs of wanting to be valued in a group. And really, it's only then where you start to give a shit about all this. And so if you aren't getting in touch with this, consider that you may be somewhere else on that. And likely you want more of what you got, or you want the stage right above it. And that's something you're going to have to go for before you start getting interested in anything I'm trying to convey. It also just might be a product of me not conveying it well. We don't want to roll that out. But after you get all that, then when you start to care about these things, the other things are still important, but you start to have much bigger sights, much bigger visions for the kind of questions you want to answer, and the kind of results you want to produce, and the kind of consequences you want to ripple out into the world. And that's where those questions of, like, what problems would you want to solve in the world, that's where they really come in. And sometimes you have to wonder if just, like, if the reason you're not getting anywhere with this is just because you aren't trying. Like, it's a simple thing, but nothing's going to happen on its own. You know, you have to act contrary to the person you've been to go for any of this. You have to set clear intentions and hopes and aims, because, you know, most people, they're going to fall short of those aims. And so if you want some sort of chance, you should probably aim higher. And just maybe you'll get to a place approximating that. And so we're considering things that are holding us back, right? You know, it's common for people to get caught up in other people's visions. It's easy to find a role model and just hop on the bandwagon without truly considering what you wanted all along, or what you do want going forward. And then some of you are just too scared to look at what you want. It's surely a hard thing to look at, because in many cases you have to shift your life upside down. And hopefully you're in a place where you haven't set up too many responsibilities and obligations to where you can't do such a thing. Like, and even if you have set up those things, if you have children and maybe a spouse and a mortgage to pay and all this stuff, like, that doesn't mean you throw all this out. It doesn't mean you stop considering these things. It means you approach it from a different angle, and maybe you have less time to do it. But you still go fucking ham towards this thing. You still go full bore inward. and you still think big, you still take a strategic approach to life. And now I speak again to everyone. It's like, we need to see all the ways that we're falling short and take strategic measures to preemptively counter them before they continue to happen. It's like if you wake up every morning and you are supposed to sit down and write that novel, or you're supposed to call that person, or you're supposed to create that art, or you're supposed to do whatever, and you just instead go watch TV or eat a Hot Pocket, like whatever the hell it is. Like you have to come up with a better strategy because the one you're doing just isn't working. Whether that means you set up your environment differently, whether that means you change your whole schedule and routine. You have to set up things so that they work for you. And with that, you can perhaps start to trust yourself with this whole thing, which is an additional issue, is that we just don't trust ourselves to take any of these steps or to know anything about who we are and what we want. This is a huge problem. And it's normal and natural to have doubt. But it's so crucial to have some level of trust in yourself. And I guess that only comes with showing up for yourself, right? Like if you have, let's take maybe sort of an extreme example. It's like if you had a father growing up and he was never around, he never fulfilled his promises that he made you. You know, you're gonna have a hard time trusting the guy, taking him seriously. It's like you're not gonna be able to do these things. And you can sort of take that approach to yourself, or that understanding to yourself, and that like if you don't start executing on certain actions, and if you don't start showing up to do the hard things, put it in time to create a deeper connection with yourself, like you're not gonna trust yourself. You're not gonna, like, no wonder you don't think you can do any of it. And in every moment, it's a choice. You know, at least at the level that I'm at, like, I've just been having this realization lately that's like, in every moment, it's a choice to live with anxiety. It's a choice to run from certain fears. It's a choice to not act on it. It's like, it's a choice. It's literally just a simple, okay, I'm going to do it. Like, aside from everything else, like, putting everything else away, like, I'm just going to do it. And yet, it's hard to see that from a, from our conventional levels of awareness. And baked into that is, tied in with that is just that we kind of lost our wonder. And that we'd rather have the flimsy approval of others instead of the possible failure and ridicule. And ultimately, it's like, there's not much of that. Like, people don't really care about anyone. Like, no one really cares about me. No one really cares about you. And I don't say that in a really necessarily a bad way. It's more like, look, we're all mainly focused on ourselves. And, like, the most anyone could ever sort of ridicule you, the most anyone could do that for is just, what, a night, an hour, a few minutes. Then they're going to go back to whatever they is, like, pertinent to their life. You know, we only really value people insofar as they provide value to our own life. And, you know, that's not really a bad thing. Because ultimately, you know, what that's what we're here to do. That's what you're doing with whatever, you know, if you realize and understand your purpose, what you most want, it's like that is going to be providing value to both you and to other people, if done correctly, if done fully. And so in some sense, that's the aim, is to provide value to people, to help people, or to be in a honest relationship with people. And so I know in this whole thing, I've kind of been around in a bunch of different places. Maybe it's been hard to follow this. I could see that. But at the same time, coming back to saying it's just, you know, it's a choice at every moment to try. And if you just keep trying and you do the best you can every time, that's really the only, you know, then you'll get better. That's your chance of getting better. And so I hope this is helpful. I hope you sort of understand what this concept is pointing to and how crucial it is for your life. Because if you don't start considering this now, you will be back in a year. You'll be back in 10 years. You'll be back in 50 years. And by that time, there will have been so much you could have done that you just didn't. And so it's either you understand the value of these things now, or you throw so much away. And there are costs that come along with this, obviously. You know, this means more time just practicing your art, or, you know, writing, or talking to people, or just all the things that sort of are motivated towards this versus just hanging out with your friends or watching the shows you like to watch, or all the other things you could be doing. There's certain costs that come along with this. And I'll dive more into that elsewhere. But for now, if you understand that really what this is, what life purpose is just asking yourself what you got to honest want, what you honest to God want. Can't even talk. Then through that, you can start to contemplate. You can start to come up with, maybe not answers, but directions. And you can start to kindle those directions as if you were kindling fire. And you go try things. You go test things out. And what you'll sort of find is that the thing you're most, that you have the most resistance to doing, tends to be it. The thing that you believe, okay, how do I phrase this? The thing you believe yourself to not be able to do, the thing you're most scared of, and the thing that you can't fathom is possible for you, that tends to be it. The thing you were really into when you were 7 or 12, you know, when you were little, that tends to be in the right direction. The thing that doesn't offer any explanation as to why you should do it, and yet you still feel like you need to, that tends to be it. The voice that offers all the rationalizations and all the concerns and all the reasons why you shouldn't do something, that tends to be a hindrance. It's that voice that says, just cause, just for itself. All of those things sort of point into the right direction. But again, you have to get quiet enough. You have to be alone enough for long enough. So if you understand that, if you understand the value in this, you understand why it's important, I think you're on a good track. And I wish you the best. Because ultimately I just want more people in touch with the severity of their situation. And the beauty of our situation here versus all of the suffering. So go follow people who are doing this. Go meditate. Go journal. Go read. Go ask these questions. Go think about these questions. And just take some sort of measure. To make your life more aligned with how you want it to be. Peace.